Welcome to the Vince Del Monte Podcast Show, where each week we bring you the raw and real experiences, lessons, and timeless principles every man needs to master the 5 M's of manhood. By sharing conversations with the world's most successful people pursuing the 5 M's, you'll build muscle faster, achieve a winner's mindset, increase your money, dominate your mission, and go the distance with your marriage. My name is Vince Del Monte, entrepreneur, author, pro fitness model, and father. And I've helped tens of thousands of men transform their bodies and lives through muscle, entrepreneurship, and personal development. Thank you for spending some time with me today. Now let's begin.
Hey, welcome back to the Vince Del Monte podcast. It's been almost a month since I've done an episode, believe it or not. We've been a little out of sorts with our travels. And here we are back with Charlie Johnson, the superstar from the UK, who's making waves and dominating. Today, we're going to talk about the relentless mindset. And for those who don't know, Charlie's been inside our coaching program he's had a couple introductions to our work through some events and formally inside our group for almost a year now. And he just keeps hitting new milestones. And it's been interesting to watch him continue to grow. And we wanted to have a conversation to give all of our trainers insights on, you know, how to mentally prepare for the road ahead. I think that's really crucial. I see a lot of people implode because they hit a roadblock and they think they're the only one that hits that roadblock. So I think today what we'd like to first do is get an update on Charlie's adventures around the world. And we're going to then also find out, how do you keep growing your business past the multiple six figures a month level, the mindset that's required, the mistakes that come along with it. And I think a neat theme, giving yourself permission to make mistakes in order to figure out what works. And I think this is going to be very valuable for you guys to see that a lot of these problems that you're facing now don't just disappear in a few months or in a few years or after a mentorship or after hiring a business coach. They continue to show up, and we need to have the mental tools to be able to handle them. So Charlie, welcome back, bro.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it. So it's been a rock and roll and roller coaster of the last few months, to be fair. So I kicked off the start of the year with spending nearly 3 months in Dubai. I then got stuck in Turkey for 11 days after I got stopped from boarding a flight to Spain. And now I've been back in the UK for 6 weeks. So it's been interesting.
So talk about Dubai, first of all. And I want to hear about getting stuck in Turkey, because I remember when you posted that one. Hey, anybody know any gyms around here or anyone I can collaborate with? Charlie's worried about who can I collaborate with instead of getting home. Hey, I don't want to miss out on an opportunity here to collaborate with somebody. So I'm like, that's classic. But what was Dubai while you were there?
Yeah, Dubai was amazing, to be fair. And for me, that's one of the places in the world I love to go to for like inspiration, because like you go there and you just think bigger and you feel like anything is possible just from the buildings and the skylines and just the sheer like determination almost they have. They almost have a relentless mindset in terms of they've built this out of nothing in the desert that didn't even exist like 50 years ago. So that in itself is very like awe-inspiring, and they have a very can-do mentality, which is one of the things I very much like about the Middle East compared to say Europe, where we're very conservative and don't step outside your box, don't try and overreach or try and push too far. Whereas out there, they're very much like, how far can we push the limits, if that makes sense?
That's really cool. And what are the people like? Was there a lot of entrepreneurs? Were you meeting a lot of ambitious people? Did you feel a different vibe in the air?
The way it's a completely different vibe. And the best thing about it is, if you think about a melting pot of all of the best people in the world who are hugely talented at what they do, they're all generally within that place and that location. And also everyone's so open-minded about sharing ideas and helping each other out. So even other fitness trainers I was hanging around with all sharing ideas, what we don't do. Whereas even back in the UK, like no one really talks to anyone or shares any information or insight into what they're doing. Everyone's very open and willing to help each other. And it's very much a environment for growth, both from a business point of view and also from a mental point of view, because it's very eye-opening when you see the levels of wealth and success there is.
I think we talked about that on our last podcast. Seems like people from certain places hold their cards closely to their chest, and that environment does make a big difference. When you see everybody successful, you tend to want to share more to get a bigger part of the action that you're hearing so much about. And I found that really interesting. While you're there, What kind of ideas got triggered? Did you unlock any new ideas just being in that environment for your own business, opportunities you saw that you didn't see if like you weren't in that environment?
Some of the big things that came so from twofold was collaborations and networking. So I did a video with Larry Wheels. So anyone's probably seen the video of a friend of mine, Ryan Crowley, Taurus Peck, which went super viral. Yes, so that was actually quite mentally scarring at the time. And if anyone wants to see a dramatic video of it, yes, but I watched it once and I can't watch it back. If anyone wants to see a dramatic video, that head over to my YouTube channel because it's like watching a car crash happen. So that was very good in terms of meeting the right people within the industry and spreading my name more. And like Dubai is amazing for that collaboration sort of effect. But from a business point of view as well, it's incredible in terms of some of the individuals I met out there because it gave me like the ability to move with people in different circles and open my eyes in terms of different industries and how you can apply what you've learned from the fitness industry or fitness coaching to other businesses and how I can adopt maybe what they're doing with their business and then put that into the fitness industry, which has given it a bit of a unique spin on a lot of things.
That's great. Question for you. What are some insights on setting up a successful collaboration? How does that look? Do you approach them? What's the angle?
The key in for most of them, if it's like a bigger influencer, is you almost need like a middleman. So someone who is like a friend of the influencer who's in with them, who's going to almost be like, Charlie's cool, he's right. He's not like, he's not a bad guy. Like someone who's going to get you in, you can try and just DM people and things like that. And I do that sometimes, but it's unlikely you're probably going to get, if anyone's a big name, it's unlikely you're going to get anywhere with that. I would suggest trying it. But generally, if you can try and get close to anyone who's a friend of theirs or get almost like an intro from someone else, you'll have a huge amount more success. I'm not sure if that's something you did previously in your career, Vince.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that's the name of the game. I built my whole brand off of relationships.
100%. And I think it's one of those things you can then very much leverage other people's followings and audiences to then help grow your own. And that's actually the big strategy I'm looking to push the next 60, 90 days across the summer whilst I'm in the UK, is thinking, okay, who are the other big guys in the fitness industry or on social media generally that I can try and get on camera with or bring their audience to be in front of my audience, if that makes sense.
I've always wanted to have an easy business. Like I never wanted to make making money hard. And I always saw that, how can you make making money easy? Well, you have to have consistent flows of leads. And how can you do that? Through relationships. Some people say, well, that's not scalable. But for me, and that's fair, that's definitely a fair comment. If you want scalable, you need to get into ads and data. But if you really want to stabilize your income, you can stabilize a really healthy income via relationships, because as other people's followings grow, as you continue to collaborate, you'll always have a flow of new people into your world. Maybe share some of the payoff, because I think I hear a lot, especially when I talk to young female influencers specifically, that have this guard, like, why would I collaborate with them? Like, then their people are going to go buy their program and not my program, and just squash that small time thinking.
I think a lot of that has to do with people's own insecurity. So I very much had that approach maybe 2-3 years ago. And I was very like protective of almost my own clients and what I have and my own following and my own audience. But I think that's a very narrow-minded and insecure view, when in reality, you have to understand that your clients won't be with you forever and people will naturally move around and your competition's clients will move around as well. So the more people that, like, the way I look at it, the more people that I can get in front of, and the more people who know who I am, the bigger the audience I can get, the more clients I'll have, the more money I'll make, and the more lives I can transform in that respect. And I think that's where people just need to see through the wood through the trees, or whatever the expression is, to just try and look at the bigger picture rather than being very conservative.
Yeah, absolutely. An expansion mindset. Expansion and just realizing, again, there's more than enough for everybody. There's 8 billion people in the world. And like you said, they're going to find out about your competition anyways. The way I saw it was, hey, I might as well build a profitable joint venture partnership here where I can get a piece of the action as well. And we both benefit. I've always thought, who better to make money with than your friends?
100%. I think
if I can.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And I think one of the things people need to understand is that anybody said there's 7-8 billion people in the world, but what's even better about what we promote and what we sell is a healthy lifestyle. And this isn't a one quick fix, one sale, bang, done. Like, you're essentially solving a problem that's never going away, because people might get in awesome shape, but then they'll fall off the wagon. And then who are they going to go back to?
And just for everyone listening, who knows where your brand could evolve? Charlie Johnson doesn't need to stay stuck in fitness the rest of his life. This is a platform that you're building. And even today, I still have people messaging me about business coaching that have been following my fitness work for years. And they're coming from Hypertrophy Max or the 30-day metabolic reboot. We just had a guy pay in full 2 days ago, who was one of our top transformation students from the 30-day metabolic reboot. And he's just ready for a career change. And I'm still living off of a lot of relationships I've built for my fitness brand that I haven't really done anything with for over 3 years. And I think you have to realize that the relationships you're investing in today, they might not have any payoff for 1 to 2 months, even 1 to 2 years. It might all come in 3 to 4 years from now. But that's the mentality of being in this for the long term and not trying to make a quick buck and cash out. So let's shift a bit, Charlie. We want to talk about this adversity mindset. Dude, you're a force, man. Like, you just keep pressing. And some members in the group get overwhelmed and intimidated, or they say, oh, that's just too much. I can't handle those updates from Charlie. I don't know if I've told you that, but I'm like, that's the mountain he's climbing, man. You guys don't have to climb that high in the mountain. Just where does the mindset come from? How do you keep that mindset fueled to keep pressing? Because I talk to people, our team talks to people in the DM every day, and they're doing 2 to 3K a month, which is whatever, to each their own. They're covering some bills, but they're like, they feel like they're living the dream. And it is like fitness too. Like, you get to a level of leanness and you're satisfied, a level of building muscle and you're satisfied, until you get around bigger guys, until you get around leaner guys. I might've just answered my own question, but can you relate to that?
100%. I think it's one of those things that some people think I'm a bit of a lunatic, but unless you're in it, you don't really understand. And it's about having a progressive mindset. I'll come on to this a bit later on, but one of the books I'd highly recommend anyone reads is Relentless by Tim Grover. And it talks about a cleaner in there and the personality type and always wanting more and like never being satisfied. And I was reading the character traits and I was like, tick, tick, tick. And I was like, that's very interesting. But I think a lot of this comes around to the people you have in your life and also the thoughts that you put into the world. One of the big influences has been obviously Frank, who's on the mastermind, who's been pushing me a lot. And you talk about the law of attraction. I can't remember if we mentioned this on the podcast before, but I heard of Frank on Craig's podcast a few years ago. And I was like, I even tried to find out who he was on the internet. I was like, who is this guy? So I like Googled him, couldn't find him. And then obviously ended up bumping into him at your event in Tampa. And then one thing led to another and we ended up becoming great friends. But that's very much that law of attraction thing. And I think I have to think about putting the right energy out there into the world. And then if you vocalize the world, like something I'm thinking about a lot at the moment, my goal is to try and transform 1 million lives throughout my fitness career. And by me like vocalizing and saying that, it's become a self-fulfilling prophecy, because I've now put that out into the world and that's going to happen. And that being said, in terms of having a support network, something I think which is very inspirational that you do very well, Vince, is like showcasing your family life and the support you have from your partner. Because one of the things that has really helped keep me on the straight and narrow when I have hard times, because a lot of people look from the outset that like everything's sunshine and rainbows, but like the reality is stuff goes wrong all the time, is having a supportive partner who understands what's going on sometimes, because other people don't really get context to the situation, I think.
Yeah, no, I hear you. My wife, she's my guardrails. If I didn't have her, I'd be who knows where. I wouldn't have much going for me except for my business. But she's helped me continually. It's crazy that you have to even talk about this, but I'm fine. I'm comfortable talking about it because I know other guys struggle with it too. But yeah, a lot of guys find their identity in their work. And it's a big part of how we were created, but sometimes so much that your money becomes your God. And if money isn't going the direction you want, then you can start getting really down on yourself, feeling depressed. And like, then you have a sale and you're like, all of a sudden your mood's up. My wife revealed that to me. She goes, do you realize that whenever you have a bad day, you're pissy with the whole family? I'm like, are you serious? She said, yeah, you've got no patience with the kids. You're completely unengaged. You're not fun to be around. And I'm like, holy crap. And then the next day, a big sales day, and all of a sudden things are back to normal. She goes, did you have a good sales day today? And I'm like, holy cow. So having somebody in your life who's not only supportive, but who's willing to call you out because she's committed to the marriage. I'm extremely fortunate.
Here's a question for you, because that's very interesting. And I think this is one of the things that people don't necessarily understand, that this is a very much a learning curve as you grow within your business. Because what you just said is something that's very much happened to me in the last year or two. And something I've actually, like, I'll open up and talk about is working with a psychologist to try and make myself more emotional and think better, if that makes sense, and compartmentalize things better so that I'm not so much ingrained in terms of my own personal identity with my success, if that makes sense, in terms of my personality. So I think it's very easy to get led down that garden path sometimes where you're only in a good mood if you've been killing it that day. And then also you'll have the same mindset that if you, for example, sold $5,000 a day, that's now not enough. It now needs to be 10,000. And you're constantly seeking that bigger dopamine hit of progressing faster and faster, which, like, no matter how hard you push, is sometimes slightly unrealistic.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what we were talking about in our last mastermind. Who are you racing?
It's learning to run your own race.
Yeah, learning to run your own race. And you have to figure out how you want to finish the race, first of all. It's one thing to finish the race. I was talking on my story the other day. So we were traveling from Florida to Tennessee, 9-hour drive. Our drive gets cut short because of a nail. 2 hours in, I find myself on the side of the I-75 with these massive trucks going by. Got to get the kids out of the car on the other side of a guardrail. Now our ankles are getting eaten up by ants. I still haven't stopped scratching my ankles. Got to wait for a state trooper to come. And then the range runner, because I don't know how to change a tire. And then my wife says, I'm going to just change this thing. I'm like, don't you dare. I will not be able to live with myself if work gets out that you changed the tire on the side of a highway and I didn't. And she let me off the hook by saying, nah, not a good idea anyways. You're too close to the side. So I'm like, yeah, exactly. I could have fixed it if I wanted. So anyways, we finally get this tire switched out with a spare, and the spare only has 80 miles on it. So I'm driving literally 80 kilometers an hour on the I-75, and people are just flying by. All I can see in my rear view, like, an hour is just cars coming up in the back. I'm like, oh my God. And then they go around and I'm like, this is traumatic. So kids are screaming in the back seat, and the whole vision is just to get to Tennessee. And I had this aha moment with all this stress, and we have to pull over in some side town that I'm unfamiliar with to find spare tire, 22-inch spare tire, and everything's closed on Sundays. And then we find out tomorrow's Memorial Day, everything's closed on Monday. So now we're thinking, we're not going to get on the road until Tuesday. And you can imagine, with three young kids, 37 degrees out, can't find a tire, call 25 places, like, we were going to kill each other. And I'm like, what's the point of getting to the destination if I'm like, I'm not going to even make it, or we're not going to make there married. Somebody's going to get, we were just ripping on each other because we're both frustrated and it wasn't going according to plan. Everything was not going according to plan. We're supposed to get to Georgia. We had plans in the afternoon, supposed to have a nice dinner, supposed to leave the next day early. And, you know, I share all that because a lot of times things don't go according to plan. And you've got these ambitions to hit these new milestones with your business. Talk about how you manage things not going according to plan. And I think for me, I always think of, like, all right, things aren't going according to plan, but what's happening to me as a person in the process? How am I handling this? Are there opportunities for me to be, like, becoming more mature and to grow up? And I didn't handle a lot of situations that day very well. And I'm looking back and people are like, oh, you made it. I'm like, hardly. Like, we got there, but I don't like how we got there, because we yelled at each other most of the way there because we're so frustrated and stressed out. So who cares that we made it? Look, like, we got there in shambles. So what was the point?
100%. I think there's, people need to understand, I actually spoke to my dad about this recently, and he was fairly successful in business. I've had a challenging few weeks with a few things going wrong that have been out of my control. And there's a I keep just thinking to myself that things don't happen to you, they happen for you. And everything that happens that goes wrong is an opportunity to learn and maybe not be so naive to certain things in life. And you need to look at having backups for certain situations and sometimes look at maybe the worst case scenario of what could happen. And that's a great way to sometimes give perspective. And another way I try and compartmentalize issues and challenges is looking at, is this going to matter in 5 minutes, 5 hours, 5 weeks, five years time? And that's the reality. If it's not going to matter in 5 years time, whatever you're stressing about is probably not that important. And imagine, like Vince, in 5 years time, you probably won't be so upset about the flat tire.
Or yeah, just not getting there on time and not being able to, you know, get right into my routine on Monday morning, and then, you know, missing my workout and having to push my push day to my Tuesday instead of, it's really funny how you can let these incidences in the moment really just cause you to lose sight of the bigger picture. So let's talk about this trait, resilience, like the ability to be resilient. I think of the first time I heard the term resilient actually was from Scott Abel, and he said, you want to have a resilient metabolism. I really like that because I'm like, a resilient metabolism. And the way I interpreted that was like, your metabolism is so resilient that if I had an extra couple slices of pizza or a beer or two, I don't wake up the next day without my six pack. So I'm like, oh, that's what I want. I'm like, I want a resilient metabolism, one that can like weather storms. So talk about what resilience looks like. When did you have to use resilience the last time in your business? Let's hear a story.
Yeah, yesterday. So I'll be honest, I've had the last week has been, to talk about context. So I was last week, Tuesday, I was like, I had we planned to go up to London for 2 days, staying in like the Mandarin Oriental Hotel, really nice. I was like, I can have 2 days to try and like de-stress a bit. And I woke up Tuesday morning to go and train at 5 o'clock. I looked at my emails and I had an email basically saying my payment gateways was getting shut down. And basically, my whole business was going to get closed down. So I was like, this could be interesting. So from there, I'm not going to lie, I was very stressed about that. And that was something which I alluded to earlier, that my partner was incredibly supportive about and was very good in terms of putting context to the situation and helping me in terms of like clearly mapping out what I could do in terms of fixing the situation. And the best thing advice I give to anyone, whenever you've got any issues, whatever it is, business, fitness, relationships, is just deal with whatever it is head on as quickly as possible. And then the quicker you deal with it, the quicker you've almost quashed that problem. And the reality is that I always think it was almost like in 2 weeks time, this problem, whatever's going to happen, is going to be dealt with and it's over and done with. And you just have to like embrace the suck of the here and now and then learn from the experience and try not to allow it to happen again. One of the things that I find makes a big difference to me in terms of from a mindset point of view and actually trying to strengthen your view on these sort of things is actually reading. So I actually was alluding to it earlier when I spoke to about that Tim Grover book at Relentless, is that I was been reading that recently. And I remember I didn't want to wake up the next day because I was like, I did not want to get out of bed to have to deal with this problem. Because when you're just going to have a bad, like not bad day, but you're going to, this is going to be challenging and stressful. And I woke up and I was like, I was just thinking about what I'd been reading in that book. And I was just like, man up and just get on with it. Prove to yourself like you have other people who look up to you and depend on you, and this is why it's important. It's your time to stand up and be a leader and deal with these issues like as a man, rather than hiding under the bed sheet and cuddling the pillow and hoping for the best, which is I think the approach maybe a lot of people take, where they're trying to stick their head in the sand, which I imagine you must have seen throughout your business career, Vince.
Oh yeah. I've seen so many guys with so much potential. I just found out one of my buddies, like his wife is the main breadwinner now. And he used to have a 7-figure business and he's been suffering from depression and he never reached out to any of us. I'm like, all those times that we were at his place, he never even mentioned anything. I'm like, wives are friends. And I'm like, why didn't he bring it up? I guess then I start thinking maybe I should have asked him, hey, how are you doing, man? Is everything okay? But I was wondering, like, how did you get to this point? And it really just starts off with, I think it's a bit of ego, a bit of pride. And some of those, the ego and pride can keep you safe and can give you a bit of an edge sometimes too. But in this situation, I've seen a lot of people just not evolve. and they get stuck, and like they're living in years and years of they're living in their highlights from like 2010 and they haven't done anything new. So I think just understanding that like growth is always hard. I have to constantly evolve. And I think about marriage too. Like I've seen three friends in the past year, marriages fall apart, like close friends, not just like colleagues, close friends, marriages fall apart. And I'm not judging. I'm like, I see a lot of myself in some of these guys, and that could happen to me. That could actually happen to me. Like I'm not invincible. So I think I try and carry a bit of an air of like, I'm not invincible. I love to say that, oh yeah, I'm fine. But I find like a common theme amongst guys the longer I go that implode is they didn't have other men to talk to, and they internalized their problems so much to a point where there might be a level of embarrassment to say, hey, I need help. Like I need help. And they never get an opportunity to humble themselves and to say, I'm really struggling here, or I'm still struggling with this. And I'm open. I went to see Joel, appreciate this, is when I was in Florida, I had Joel and Rudy come on over, and they started asking me questions about data. And data is not my strength. Like I'm not a data-driven guy. Like I've built a business that suits who I am, primarily through relationships and organic methods. Those two guys are purely, they just want to scale a company. Like they just use different language. And I'm okay talking about this because neither is right or wrong. If you want to scale a company and sell it and you want to do it as fast as possible, you need those tools. And they joke around, oh, Vince, you still don't have your data dialed in, eh? And I'm like, you know, we're working on it. Sometimes it's taking a little longer than I planned. And I could like just say, forget these guys. I don't want to hang out with them. These guys just make me feel insecure about myself. They make me feel like a failure. They make me feel like a shitty businessman. They make me feel like I don't have what it takes to build a business. And I have to go back to whose race am I running? Whose race am I running? Because you can get really caught up in somebody else who's just flying and you're like, oh man, what's wrong with me? So I've had to check myself quite a bit. And I have to look at the big picture and I have to remember, am I trying to find my identity and how fast I'm scaling a company or who I am as a person and what I have all together? And I think we talked about this in our event, how the devil comes to distract and disappoint. That's how he destroys people. He comes to distract people and he comes to disappoint people so that he can destroy you. And I think you have to be aware of, for my faith system, like how the enemy attacks you and how you're going to get taken out. I'm reading a great book. It's called Becoming a King. And Charlie, one of the questions that they say in the book is one of the most important questions a young man can ask is to look at men in their 40s and their 50s and 60s, like older men, to study older men and ask this one question. What took them out? What took them out? And you start looking at guys who are further down the road, who maybe they built something over here, but over here, everything crumbled. It's like, what took that guy out? And I think that's what I'm starting to look at. Man, my three close friends, no more marriages. I'm like, what took that guy out? And how can I learn from that? I'm opening up a lot of tangents here, but I think the way I handle it is I really try and figure out, I'm my own man. And I don't need to try and do what they do. I can be inspired, but I have to remember, who do I want people to think? What do I want people to think when they think of me? And that helps me stay in my lane.
100%. I think it very much comes back to your core values of who you are as a human being, who you want to be and who you want to be viewed as, because a lot of things you said there, it resonated with me a lot on how I felt recently in terms of trying to push and go as gung-ho and try and grow and grow. And it's almost pushed back a little bit. And I've maybe started to not resent the process, but not enjoyed it as much as I have previously, which has made me very much rethink about a lot of things and think about, as you said, like the longevity of business is the reality. I'm only like 2 years into this and I've grown very quickly. And you look at some of the other like clients and members of the mastermind, like Vince, Suzanne and some of the others, for example, who are doing really well. Frank, like they've been in the game a while, and it's a lot of it's made me think you need to look at the bigger picture, not look at the micro, look at the macro, and think about longevity, enjoying the process of this, and like really double down on what you're enjoying, what your skills are, and that's where you will have the most success.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, I want to talk about one more quick thing, but I think if you have an air of, all right, look at these guys who've been in business for 10, 15 years and try to identify what crushed some of these guys, and then building boundaries around, okay, that guy was never attentive to his relationships, and now he's living all by himself. So what can I do differently? All right, I'm going to make a rule. I don't work on Sundays. I don't bring my phone out on date night, or I don't work after X amount of hours. I put in 30 minutes a night of quality time with my spouse and ask her how she's feeling. It's just, you'll be shocked, Charlie, by how these are small things that can really protect your internal relationships, like the most important relationships, so that you don't find yourself all of a sudden one day all by yourself and you're like, the hell did I do all this for? And now I got no one to share it. Or now you've got to share 50% with somebody else. And I just seen a lot of people recently who I looked up to that I'm like, I don't want any of that. I looked up to them. So they got all that, but at what cost? I'm like, not worth it.
Out of interest, would you say this is one of the most difficult things to learn? Because you almost get blinkered by the scaling the mountain, and you want to try and get to the summit as quickly as possible and almost at all costs, and you just pay no attention to anything else.
100%, man. Especially for ambitious guys, because it can be, there's that one quote, the rich line's always moving, so you're never happy. So the money, you have to realize that it's never, you can't take it with you. You can't take the trophies with you. You can't take any of that with you. So it really is finding a place where you can get centered around who's coming with you. I think for me, I get the most fulfilled when we have like record months, but it's how I did it. So in December, we had a record month. I only worked 2 weeks. To me, that was like a satisfying month, as opposed to having a record month, but like I worked 18 hours a day. I didn't work out. I looked like crap. I drank a bottle of wine every night of the month. Like to me, I'm like, so it's called the paradox of progress. So you're making progress in one area of your life, but you're going backwards in other areas of your life. So the question is, are you really progressing?
You're stealing from one hand to give to the other, essentially.
Yeah. And so I think you got to figure out like what's most important to you and just say, hey, these are my values, and I'm going to be living proof that you can build a business without bending in these areas. And that can be your testimony. That can be your legacy. And then make that the thing that inspires you to disconnect on Saturdays or disconnect on the weekends or have set hours that you stick with. And I don't pick up the phone when I'm on date night. Like when you start to say, hey, even if the world's falling down right now, my wife is more important to me this time right now. And I think when you just keep compromising on your values, it just eventually chips away. It's like the Titanic. It sunk by small cracks that eventually went into all compartments of the ship, which the Titanic was known for being compartmentalized, meaning it shouldn't have been able to sink, but it was living proof that when there's a crack in one spot of the boat, it eventually leaks everywhere.
Yeah, you can pull down the whole thing.
Yeah, so these are the uncomfortable conversations.
But it's the honest truth. And to be honest with you, this is something very much I have been feeling the last few months. So to give context to obviously neglecting maybe other halves, I was in Dubai on my own I was away for 2.5 months. And there's not many partners who'd be very supportive of that situation. However, I'm very fortunate my wife was willing is not probably the right word, but was very supportive of that and is very supportive of what I do. And I think that's one of the things that people really need to understand is that if you want to go into this journey, you have to have a solid framework and support network around you. And it's the same as we say to clients when they want to get the best shape of their life, is you have to let the other people know, this is what I want to do and this is why and this is the benefit of it. And then when the other people around you understand that, then they'll be able to be easier for them to support and buy in on the process.
Yeah. Over communication and, you know, just realizing that your spouse has needs and they might be different needs than you. And yeah, just having open dialogue and conversation and finding out how they're feeling and what they need more of and how can I do better. And just really coming into the relationship. It's just like building your business. It's a constant work and just realizing that, hey, man, oh man, like being okay with having them hold a whole standard to live up to it's a privilege. It shouldn't be a burden. I know a lot of guys are like, God, my wife just has these unrealistic expectations and yeah, she's got everything, but she still complains. I'm like, well, dude, that's an opportunity, man. Like most women wouldn't even say anything. She's actually pushing you because she loves you. That's why. She has a high respect for herself in which like you don't see it like that. Yeah, I actually see it like that. I'm like, yeah, she's giving you an opportunity to grow, but if you shut her out and shut those conversations down, she's going to give up and she's just going to say, I'm putting all this effort in, I'm not getting anything back. That's when things start to whoop. So yeah.
Is this lesson you like talk, if you were talking to a younger Vince, is this a lesson that you think you should have learned earlier and a lesson you even thought you had to learn, if that makes sense? Because I think even in my own egotistical world when I was younger, that is not something I ever really comprehended was a real challenge, but it is definitely a big challenge.
Yeah, if your relationship's easy, it means you're not doing it right. So it means both parties have just settled and said, all right, this is what we're going to both tolerate. You're not changing, I'm not changing. And you just become two ships passing in the night. So I haven't learned this. I believe true learning is when you're living it out. I'm working hard. It's tough. We have our date nights every Tuesday night. But yeah, last night, my wife, she was like saying, you got to be more patient with the kids. And I was like getting really defensive. I'm like, Slavin, come on. Are we going here again? And I'm like, I just realized like, yeah, you don't just like all of a sudden arrive like these in order to grow. This is going to be a lifelong battle. So I think you just have to give yourself permission and some grace to realize that there's always new levels of patience. If you want to continue to go deeper with people, you're going to have to connect with them deeper. And that's going to require more, you know, maybe levels of discomfort, being even more present, spending even more quality time, listening even more. Like those are things that don't come naturally to me. Maybe not all guys, some guys, and you have to just realize I'm not doing this. There's not a payoff here. This is me being present is the best gift I can give somebody. It's how you're going to have the maximum connection. So that's what they need in order to feel loved and important. And that's what I have to figure out on how to keep giving them, or else they're not, and they're going to disconnect. And then what am I left with? A bunch of worldly success with nobody to share it with. Who cares? So who do I impress? A bunch of business colleagues over a bunch of drinks in Las Vegas? Wow.
And then comes down to what you're doing it all for.
Yeah. That's a good way to look at it. Yeah, absolutely. And why are you truly doing this all? Yeah. So I think what I would extend people is just, I see guys get really beat down, looping it back to business or even trying to get lean. It's, oh, this is hard again. It's always going to be hard to get down to 4% body fat. It never is a second, trip is, oh, that was easy. No, you just become better and you learn how to manage these setbacks, but it's always going to be hard. Building to the next level in your business, it's always going to be hard. Building your relationships and being a great father, that's always going to be hard. So I think it is. It always comes back to the resilience and being willing to grow, having that growth mindset and just seeing all these challenges as opportunities. I think that's how and then also I like what you said about, I have an obligation to be a leader to my team, and that if I can crack the code here, how many more guys can I inspire and talk authentically about this where they're going to have hope as well? So why are you doing this? I believe I'm doing this to give people hope. I hope that what I share is giving people hope.
100%. And I think that's one of the things that I want to try and lead by example and prove what can be done, because I I just think too many people have glass ceilings of what can be achieved, and people need to think bigger, dream bigger, and just push themselves a little bit more. But then also, again, at costs they're willing to pay, if that makes sense.
Exactly. What costs you're not willing to pay. Yeah. Yeah. I love it. Charlie, that's excellent, man. I forget, who was I interviewing, you or were you interviewing me?
It's a bit of both. It was two-way. I've been doing a lot of podcasting, so that's probably why.
That's awesome. All right, man. Hey, why don't you share, let's wrap up here. Why don't you share just one final insight on how to crush through adversity, and then how can people follow you and what you're doing with your amazing coaching business?
The two biggest tips I'd give to anyone in terms of going through adversity when you're struggling with something or in a challenge, number one would be to deal with whatever the problem is as quickly as possible. That's very much my approach with everything, whether it's implementing new strategies or dealing with putting out fires. The quicker you put out the fire, the less forest is going to get burnt. And then secondly, I think when it comes to dealing with problems, I think one of the best things you can do is talk it through with someone else. Whether like, and I actually have found recently that my partner's best person, even though she's not necessarily business minded, but she is supportive and will listen and has a good point of view. So those are my two big tips I would recommend. In terms of finding out more information about myself, if you check out my Instagrams at Charlie Johnson Fitness, if you want to drop me a follow, podcast is The Shredder Show. And I've also got a YouTube channel where I've got tons of content, which is just Charlie Johnson Fitness on YouTube.
Amazing. Charlie, you're a good man. And I know you want to build this business the right way. It's with pleasure that I can endorse what you're doing and tell everybody to follow you. And you're a big inspiration to all of our seven-figure mastermind members and to our listeners. You're really, like I said at the start, making waves and dominating, and you're doing it the right way. I got your back. Want to take you as far as you want to go. And this was an awesome episode. So thanks for coming on and sharing openly. And I trust this was super helpful for anybody who tuned in today. One final ask for our listeners, be sure to take a screenshot of this episode, tag Charlie, tag myself, share one of your favorite sound bites, and spread the word. Thanks, everybody. We'll talk to you all soon.
And that's it for this episode. If you want to hang out with more serious online fitness coaches who are starting, growing, or scaling profitable online fitness businesses, then you're going to want to head on over to vincedelmonte.ca/group, where I do a free weekly training on the smartest and easiest way to build a high-ticket fitness empire in less time. This is my free Facebook group, and this is where all the deep dive, amazing, instantly implementable advice gets dropped that you're not going to want to miss. And thank you for listening to the Vince Del Monte podcast. And if you're getting value from this show, please subscribe and leave a 5-star review over on iTunes. And if you'd like to get yourself 3 free samples of the world's only all-day energy pre-workout preload, leave a review on iTunes, screenshot it, and send it to my Blue Verified account on Instagram. All you got to do is go to @VinceDelMonte, send it on over. We'll get your address and we'll ship 3 free samples to your front door to give you all day energy, just as a little token of my appreciation for supporting the show and getting the word out there. We'll see you next time.